Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy. And I want to read to you some verses. And I hope that you will view them in the context of the time of the year. I hope you will view them in the context of what God says and pledges to Israel is much like what He pledges to spiritual Israel. Deuteronomy 7, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hast cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them, and thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter shalt thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them, ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which ye had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. As we come down to the closing days of the year, I think it would be good for us to consider all that the Lord has said here in regard to His true Israel. And I think it's good to think about them in light of the coming year, in the light of the year 2019. And surely God has proved Himself to be and will continue to prove Himself to be the God that He speaks of in these verses, especially as He speaks of Himself in verse 9. He says, "Know ye therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, the faithful God." An old preacher by the name of Arthur Pink, who died, I believe, in the 50s. Preacher, writer, expositor of the Scriptures. But before he died, he said concerning his days, he said, "Unfaithfulness is one of the most outstanding sins of these evil days. In the business world, a man's word is, with exceeding rare exceptions, no longer his bond. In the social world, marital infidelity abounds on every hand, the sacred bonds of wedlock being broken with as little regard as the casting off of an old garment. In the ecclesiastical realm, thousands who have solemnly covenanted to preach the truth make no scruple to attack and deny it. Nor can reader or writer claim complete immunity from this fearful sin. In how many ways have we been unfaithful to Christ and to the light and privileges which God has entrusted to us? How refreshing then, how unspeakably blessed, to lift our eyes above this scene of ruin and behold one who is faithful in all things, faithful at all times." And as I read that, I thought about this. I thought, if he should feel this way in his day, even so brief a time as the 50s between then and now, what about our day? And if it be a great and unspeakable blessing to think of God's faithfulness then, what about now? What about now? You see, the very fact that we are present in this building this morning, the very fact that we've made it down all these months and years to the end of this year is a great testimony to God's faithfulness. There is nobody here that can say that God has not been faithful. And in the Scriptures, God is not only called the faithful God, but He's spoken of as surrounded and clothed by His faithfulness as if it were a robe. God speaks in languages and in terms and expressions that we as meek and lowly people can lay hold of some aspect about Him. Because the psalmist says, O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto Thee? Or to Thy faithfulness round about Thee? He's characterized, He's robed, He's clothed with this great faithfulness. In Isaiah we read, And righteousness shall be the girdle of His loins, and faithfulness the girdle of His reins. He is not only the absolute sovereign of this universe, He's the only faithful one in this universe. He's the faithful God. And we rightly sing that hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great meaning infinite, immeasurable, unending. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and Thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. Pink said this. He said He never forgets. He never fails. He never falters. He never forfeits His word. God is faithful. And in Numbers we read this, God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall it not, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and He shall not make it good? He's the faithful God. And every believer that has ever lived in this world can along with that weeping prophet, Jeremiah, they can with Jeremiah say, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not, they are new every morning, great is Thy faithfulness. Every believer not only can but has to confess this great faithfulness of God. And the faithfulness of God is one of the most comforting things, one of the most glorious attributes, one of the most wonderful things, because His faithfulness is joined with His power and His ability and His grace. All that God is has to do with all that God does. All His attributes, such as power and ability, and all these other strengths, they are joined to His grace and His mercy and His goodness, so that whatever He determines to do in this faithfulness, He's able to do it. He can do it. I talk to people sometimes and they say, why has God done this or that? But the truth of the matter is, He doesn't give answer to us. He does it because He can do it. He absolutely can, as far as right and as far as ability. But He will do it based on His faithfulness. And the first thing that I want you to see this morning is that, first of all, God is faithful to Himself. When you listen to Paul's words to young Timothy, he said this. He said, if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself. He's going to be faithful to Himself. In other words, He is faithful to His own person as He is. He must be faithful to who He is. He's faithful to His holiness. He's not going to be any other way. He can't be any other way. He's faithfulness to His justice. He cannot do anything other than what is just and right. Don't expect Him to save you and violate any of His holiness, any of His justice. He's righteous, and what He does, He's going to do it right. He's going to be faithful to Himself. That's all there is to it. He's the God with whom we have to do. Some say that God can do whatever He wants. But simply put, the Bible shows that God is faithful to be consistent to how He is and to what He says that He is. He's not going to do that which is in violation or contrary to His nature as God, as the holy, just, righteous, perfect God. He's not going to do anything that is inconsistent, even for you or for me, that is unfaithful to His character. Not anything. His grace, as Paul says there in Romans 5, His grace reigns in righteousness. Everything He does, especially in the salvation of His people, is not going to violate any of His character or His attributes or His law or anything else. He's going to do it in a way that's consistent with Himself. And when Job asked the question that I think is the question of questions, because we have to know, if we know anything about God and anything about ourselves, we have to know how this is solved, and only the fact that God can do it. He said, how can man that's born of a woman, that drinks iniquity like water, that is not pure in God's sight in himself, how can that man be just with God? And if we ever find out the answer, if God ever reveals to us the answer or the basis upon which that can take place, God can declare us righteous and be consistent or be faithful to Himself, we'll know the gospel. That is, it is only in Jesus Christ. His grace always is in Jesus Christ. And in light of that, God is faithful to all those prophecies. Everything we read in the Bible, as it pertains to everybody, shows God's faithfulness to them. Listen to this in Genesis 8. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Now, let me ask you something this morning. Do you think that the business of matters such as global warming, do you think they are of a recent coming? Ever since time began, man sinned, and from that time on, he's been trying to take control of this universe and say what will happen and what will be done. His forecasts of doom and gloom have been on the earth all the time till now, and rise just recently. And scientifically, they say that the earth is warming, the seas are rising, we'll be scorched because the ozone layer has disappeared. But when I got up this morning, felt the chill in the air, saw the sunshine, arose from the night before, God testified to His great faithfulness to that promise. It doesn't matter who says what. It doesn't matter what evidence they set forth. Man will always receive the false so-called evidence of man before he believes God. But God is going to be faithful. Listen to this. In Genesis 15, God said unto Abraham, or Abram as he was, "Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with a great substance, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full." In other words, God's going to bring those people out. And in the book of Exodus, we read this. "And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out of the land of Egypt." Over 400 years. Wonder how many different individuals in that 400 plus years they thought about, they mocked that thing, they mocked that promise, they didn't believe that promise, they believed something entirely would be different, they predicted otherwise. But it says, "And it came to pass." Brother Scott said, "And it always does." And it always does. What comes to pass? God's prophecies, God's promises, God's predictions, God's purpose. And it comes to pass. And when we think of every prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, He is faithful to His promises. He's faithful to these promises because they're covenant promises, which He says are all yea and amen in Christ. Yes. They're all yes in Christ. Paul said, we don't have a yea-nay gospel. We don't have a gospel that's one way and then the other way and maybe so and hope so or could be so. We have a yay, yay gospel. Every promise, everything will be fulfilled. Everything will be given in the Lord Jesus Christ because God's faithful to do it. You see, the Bible says he cannot lie. When you read Hebrews 6, you read about this covenant God who is not only immutable and not only truthful, but faithful. He cannot lie. And he says that every person who has fled to the refuge, every person who has one anchor for their soul, which is the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, every person, they can have consolation. They never can have consolation in their faithfulness. God calls his people the faithful, meaning the believing. He always calls us to faithfulness, but we never are to rest in our faithfulness. We're never to find comfort in our faithfulness. We're comforted by his faithfulness. Faithful is he that is promised. And he's faithful. He has been faithful and will be faithful to redeem and call and justify and glorify a people in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're pictured right here. Look at verse 8. verse 7. He says, "The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people." That's what God says of his elect in the New Testament. Few. Little flock. You know, I thought about this morning. I read something this week that maybe start thinking along these lines. I thought about how many places in this world Sundays like this, prior to Christmas, they would be marked by a multitude of people attending. But in the places where I know the truth is preached, there will gather just a few in comparison. They'll gather without show. They'll go gather without ceremony. They'll gather without fleshly emotionalism. They'll gather and they'll do exactly what they do every other Sunday of the year. They'll gather to worship God. And the fact will be, that doesn't bother God a bit. He won't bow his head and cry. He won't consider his purpose a failure. He won't do any of those things. But because he is not mainly interested in those people, he's interested in his people. You just read this chapter again. And you remember all the failures and all the weakness and all the problems that these Israelites have. But there was one thing that always preserved them and saved them, and that was God's faithfulness. He said you were just a few compared to the world. There was nothing in you to desire you. You were weak. You're sinful. But he said, I chose you just because I would and because I loved you. Don't you ever think that God loves you because of something that you are in yourself. Don't you ever think that God loves you because of something you've done for Him. God loves His people just because He loves them. And He said, you are the fewest. But He said, but because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you up out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen and the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. That's why we call it redeeming love. Because He says God in love redeemed. That means to buy back and to deliver. And this people, according to that promise and pledge, they were redeemed by nothing that they did. They didn't have an army, didn't have weapons, didn't have money, didn't have power. They didn't have a single thing. They were slaves, bondsmen, and captives in Egypt. Well, how did they get redeemed? Well, one night God said, I'll pass over Egypt. And you take the blood of the prescribed victim that I prescribe for you, that lamb without spot and without blemish, and you apply that blood to the lintels and doorposts of the land. And when I pass over, I'll pass over you. They were redeemed by blood. But not only by blood. They were redeemed by power. In other words, God lifted them up, brought them out of Egypt, brought them out with a great amount of the spoils of Egypt that was just simply given to them. And He led them out. And by His power, destroyed the enemy that pursued them. And so the song of the redeemed that they sung was, we've been redeemed by blood, and we've been redeemed by power. Because God was faithful. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and His Holy One, to Him whom man despises, to Him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and He shall choose thee. Because the Lord is faithful. The second thing I want you to see is this. God is faithful to His Son. He's made all these covenant promises, and He has attached to them, named them in, promised them in, the man Christ Jesus. He's made everything to depend on Christ. He's given Christ glory as the one who is accountable in every way for this people that He has purposed to save. And His purpose in Christ is not an experiment. Well, I'll send my son down there to die, and whoever accepts him and whoever receives him, and whoever, everyone that decides for him, and no. No. You see, God's faithfulness to his Son is our ground of security. He's going to be faithful to himself. And he surely is going to be faithful to the Son of God. He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Look over in Psalm 89 and verse 8. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? He's faithful. But look at how he's faithful to Christ and the people in Christ. He says this in verse 30. If his children... Now, he's speaking of Christ there as David's servant. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and with their iniquity with stripes. Translated in Eastern North Carolina terms. God says if his children disobey and all that stuff, I'll whip them. That's what Mama used to say. I'll give you a whipping. That's what he's saying here. But now you look at the next word. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. That's Christ. Because all our security, all our salvation, all our safety is committed to him. He said, I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. All his seed are safe. All his seed, because they're my seed. All my seed are entrusted to my Son, his glory, his honor, his reputation, his fame, everything. I'll preserve because I'm faithful. I'll be faithful to him. Do all I promised in him. Save all the people that I gave to him. He's going to stand one day as the glorious bridegroom. And he'll have that bride that I gave him before the foundation of the world. I'll not let his blood be shed for naught. I'll honor my justice in preserving those he died for as their substitute. He preserves everyone that was given to Christ. All that he died for, all the glory of their salvation is his because God is faithful. God is faithful by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. He loves his Son. He's pleased with his Son. He accepted the sacrifices of the Son on their behalf, and he enthroned them. And he will defend his name. He will honor his Son. He will honor His gospel. He will honor and establish His kingdom. He's going to be faithful to Christ. I don't care if every other person in the world, or more than that, mocks Christ. I don't care if everybody makes light of His gospel that gives Him all the glory. I don't care what happens so far as religion in this world disgraces Christ. God's going to be faithful to Him. He already has been, because He's raised Him up to the throne. And then God's going to be faithful to His people. You look over and read verse 6 through 8. He says, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God." What does that mean? It means they've been separated unto God. "The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth." Seven nations. Almightier. All greater. All more numbered. God gave everything they had to this people. They went in and they destroyed these people. They lived in houses already built. They ate of vineyards already planted. They wore clothes already made. They had gold and silver already made into coin and jewelry. You say, that's not hardly fair. No, that's grace. God did all of that to show His people that everything that they'll have is a gift. They're given all things, especially all spiritual blessings in Christ. God had promised, God had purposed that these few people that were called by His name, they would possess this land. They would get all these people. They'd get everything without any work of their own. Just to show you and me that that's the way God saves His people. We get what we don't deserve. We don't get what we do deserve. We get that which is the result of a work and in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll save every one of them, and not one of them shall be lost or finally fall away. Not because they're not weak. Not because they don't fall. Not because they're not helpless. But because of God's faithfulness. God hadn't saved a people with a partial salvation and then gone off and left them to maintain it on their own. His is a finished work. His is a complete gift. His is everything that God has to give, an inheritance in Christ. He's faithful to them in all of redemption and all of sanctification. Christ has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, redemption, salvation, sanctification. He's faithful to them to glorify them. Paul says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it." And he's faithful to discipline them in love. I know, O Lord, thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. And he's faithful to forgive them based on Christ's blood poured out and his righteousness imputed to them. He says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in general, God is faithful to all men. He'll be faithful to them in the judgment that he's promised them. Look at verse 10. He's a God that repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them, and he will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. There won't be any wonder in anybody's mind in why they are being sent to hell. Not at all. It won't be a secret matter. God will not sneak up on them. They'll see his face and seek to flee before his face. But they can't. Because he's going to be faithful to judge them and punish them just like he promises. And he's faithful in his sayings to them in general of salvation that is based on Christ alone. And all these gospel sayings to sinners, they're all faithful because God who said them are faithful. Verse 11, "Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee to do, command thee this day to do them." But here's where Satan blinds men. They run back to the law and use the law that was given by God to show them that they cannot be saved by doing or by their obedience. And they seek to establish a righteousness by their doing right. Law keeping, morality, good deeds, religious activities. But the commandment is this. This is the commandment of God, that ye believe on his Son whom he hath sent. Oh no, it can't be that simple. It's so simple, yet so profound, and so contrary to fallen nature that unless God gives you a new heart and gives you faith, you'll not be able to believe it. What? That believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that God justifies the ungodly, believing that Christ came into the world and saved sinners. You'll never believe it. But it's a faithful promise of God. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, Paul said. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is, and of the life and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Brother Aaron Parker just recently found that true. He found God faithful. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. That's a faithful saying. And let me just close by saying that God's faithfulness ought to stir us to faithfulness. All the faithfulness that He and grace will enable us. It's His faithfulness then that enables us and encourages us to be faithful. We hear Paul say, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. What's a steward? He's a person that's entrusted with something. We're not only stewards of our possessions or money, and they used to say in religion, our time and our talents. But what he means is we're stewards of this gospel. We're to be faithful stewards of the gospel. Faithful to maintain it. Faithful to proclaim it. Faithful to stand by it. Faithful to stand when persecuted for us, for it. Because God's faithfulness. And men may be unfaithful to us. They will be. Every person in this world, the person that loves you the most, the person that you love the most, the person that's your best friend, the person that's they'll all be unfaithful. Because they're sinners. I let you down, not because I want to let you down. I let you down just because I'm a sinner. But God won't. He said, I'll never leave you, forsake you. He's going to be faithful. No matter if everybody else is unfaithful. And they will be in some way. We say, well, I sure was disappointed in so and so. You're a fool for saying that. Because you're a fool for thinking it could be any other way. We're all unfaithful, unprofitable servants at best. But that just magnifies the faithfulness of our Lord. He says to Israel, know. We know by His Word. We know by faith. We know by experience. Know, therefore, that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. I love Him.
We had a good time singing about him this morning. I love him. And I believe him. And I rest in his faithfulness. In the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, we thank you this day for your precious, wonderful word. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for your grace. For your mercy. And we thank you for your faithfulness. You're the, you're our faithful God. We pray and we thank you and ask all the petitions of our hearts in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.